Before the Lord, praise his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we are strengthened daily by your presence, by your love, your mercy, your grace over our lives. Lord, we thank you for the way you are working in and through each one of us, both individually and corporately as a body. And again, we're here tonight, Father, because of your faithfulness. Cause each of us to have ears and minds and hearts to receive your word. But Father, in receiving your word, we will get that healing, that deliverance, that salvation that accompanies the word of God. And so, Father, we commit the time into your hands now. We thank you for the blood of Jesus over the word, over the time, over the connection, the room. And we look to you now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Well, this evening I have a title for us, and it's simply called God's Chosen Way for You. God's Chosen Way for You. And I want to base some of this teaching tonight on a very important psalm, and I believe a popular psalm, Psalm 37. And I want to read some of this out so that we can just get the understanding of what the psalmist is saying here. And he says in Psalm 37, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It is only causes harm." I'm going to stop there, because those 8 verses have a tremendous amount in them. We probably even have them underlined in our Bibles. But I'm calling this teaching tonight, God's Chosen Way for You. And God has chosen a plan or a path for each of us, and he will get our attention to walk in that path that He has for each of us. Only God can plan a path for your life and my life. And we don't know what that path entails. We don't know what that path is or where it goes. We only know that the path that He has chosen for each one of us as Christians is a pathway that glorifies His name and causes us to look to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is the nature of the path. Now, we heard much about a path following the Lord or a pathway set for us, but I think this evening the Lord is going to open up yet more with regard to this path that He's chosen for each of us. And it's interesting, isn't it, that in this psalm, and particularly in verse 5, he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him. Now God is showing us to walk with Him, and not only to walk with Him, but the blessings of walking with Him. And even this may include our trials along that road. And so if we know that God has predestined a path, a road for each one of us, both individually and corporately, we're going to see that also our trials are included within that path which God has chosen for us. And when we begin to see this, and when this drops from our heads to our hearts, we're going to find ourselves beginning to rest and not fight and plan and scheme against Almighty God and against His sovereign hand. You see, what God doesn't want from us is that you plan your days, your weeks, your years without God, because you will get into circumstances that God hasn't chosen for you. And that is why we get in many of the trials that we do unnecessarily, why we suffer with fear, anxiety, unbelief, unnecessary, because we are rebelling and coming against the path that God has chosen for each of us. Jesus, when He came to the earth, divested Himself as God and took on human flesh, He learned by the Holy Spirit that God had set a path for Him. And that path included the cross. But nowhere do we see in Jesus' life where He rebelled against that path. He rebelled against the cross that He was going to. In actual fact, we find that the disciples and Peter himself actually rebels against God's plan for Jesus' life. And this is why, of course, Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he had settled God's chosen path for him. And we too will find that rest that comes by faith when we have settled that chosen path that God has predestined before the foundation of the world, that you and I should walk along that path to glorify His name. This is why God is so against those who go to fortune tellers or look into these various things to try and find out what the future holds for me. God has never purposed that we should know what the future holds for us. We walk by faith and we trust God. This is how God develops us. This is how He works with our faith, commitment, relationship, and so on. Now, of course, that could never work in the natural, but God always chooses those things that cannot be done by man to glorify His name. But you start planning your life, your days, without God, and you'll find that your circumstances will move outside God's plan for your life. And we know that many saints moved out of the plan of God into the permissive will of God. And they got in that state because they were not wanting God's ways. They were not settling to the plan and path that God had for them. Indeed, we can only read Israel's history where she rebelled against God's path for her, which of course was through the wilderness. They didn't want that. And that's most of the time where God will take his people. He's planned, he's chosen that path that we walk through the wilderness. Because the wilderness conditions cause us to be thrown completely on him. The wilderness is our deliverance, if we did but know it. And it's whether we yield to it or we resist against it. You see, do you still plan and not consider him, or think it's vital or important enough? You see, we think in major spiritual matters, in things that are really important, that yes, you commit it to the Lord, yes, you seek him, but in the practical, well, it's not really necessary. And that's very often our attitude. But that is telling us something, that we're not really walking in complete relationship and commitment to him. Because the most smallest menial thing is also important to him. It's part of the chosen path that he has for each of you. And so as you commit your day to him, and what arises in that day, and many things do arise during the daytime, we need to be walking in fellowship by the Spirit so that we can be in dialogue, we can find out what the will and the mind of the Lord is, so that in our daily walk with him we will not be taken off guard, or we will not be shocked, or we will not be thrown off course. Jesus was never alarmed by anything he encountered each day. We see that very clearly. It might have grieved him. Yes, it might have hurt him because, yes, of his emotions. But he wasn't thrown off course. That's the whole point. He knew that there was a path chosen by God for him, and he was to walk in it. And he knew he was walking in it. Now, the question I raise tonight, brothers and sisters, do you know that path that is chosen for you? Do you know you are walking daily in it? Because I'm going to tell you the signs that you will know. And the signs will be that you will be resting in him. You will not be striving in any way or form. Now, let us look in verse 8 and 9. In verse 8 and 9. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers should be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, that's telling us something here. Now, it's interesting here because it says, do not fret. Because it causes harm. In other words, he's dealing with anxiety, fear, all those things that happen to us in our daily walk with him. Now, to fret here, it means to actually get out of joint. It means to get out of joint mentally or spiritually. You're not really at that point hearing from God. You're wavering. You're looking to the circumstances. You're listening to circumstances. You're listening to the fears of the enemy. And all of us know what that's about. You see, it's easy to say, rest in the Lord, because that's what he says in verse 7. That's okay until trials come. So, this resting in the Lord, this do not fret, does this actually work in our trials? That's a very good question. Because sadly, for most of us, it doesn't. And that's where God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to tell us something. When we're fretting, when we're anxious, fearful, and all those things, and anything but resting in the Lord, that is trying to tell you and I something. And the trouble is, we're more concerned about the things that are causing that fret, that anxiety, instead of getting before God in that trial and saying, Lord, why is it I'm anxious? Why is it I'm fretting? What is causing this? If we could seek God in our trials in that way, God would soon hone in. He would soon begin to show us that you're rebelling, you are coming against the path that I've chosen for you. And if you could seek God in that way, you will begin in your trial to find that rest. But we don't. And the reason we don't, because we're rebelling against the path that he's chosen for us. And that is often the problem. And so these trials, they come, and he says, do not fret in these trials, but rest in God. And this resting in God is to do with your relationship with him. Because you see, worry, anxiety, the end result of worry and anxiety and fretting will always result in sin. If you don't bring this before God, if you don't talk it out with God, you will sin, because that's the nature of anxiety, fear, fretting. That's what Satan uses to try and get you to do. Now, I know that may sound hard. You may say to me, oh, Pastor, but you don't know what I'm going through. But God doesn't make a mistake. What God is trying to say to you is, I have a path chosen for you, and at this point you are fighting against this path that I have for you. And so you see, God then will begin to work. And when you begin to seek him, and you begin to talk it out, and you begin to open your heart before him, which of course he wants, then you will begin to find that place of rest that he speaks about in verse 7, because the conditions of faith to work must have rest. That is a sign you are in faith when you are resting in God and not anxious and fearful and afraid. And God knows we go through these things, but what he's trying to show you is that you are resulting in those things because you are resisting against the path that God has for you. And believe me, he never makes a mistake in the path that he has chosen for each one of us. And that's why it's important when we say in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understandings, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What path? The path that he has foreordained for each one of us to walk in, to fulfill that walk and glorify his name. This is why so many believers are in the permissive will of God. They're not walking in the real blessings of God because they're resisting God's ways. And the reason they is because there's still an element within us. We want God on our terms, our conditions. God has got to fit in the life and plans. And the children of Israel paid a big, big price in that one. And two of them learnt that. And they were of the right spirit, and they were the ones that went in to enter the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. You see, we're deceived into thinking that maybe, well, a little worry or a little concern or just a little bit of anxiety, actually what that tells me is that I'm wise. I'm wise, I've got some knowledge. Don't be deceived by that, brothers and sisters. It's actually an indication of sin and unbelief in your life. But isn't Satan subtle? How he will try and twist it and say, well, you've got to be a little concerned. Yes, you've got to be a little anxious. After all, you know, how will you know otherwise? No, 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 no. That's the lie of the enemy. And that's most certainly isn't God's wisdom and knowledge. It may be of the world and what your parents taught you, but it isn't of God. You see, we were never saved to plan our own lives. You were not saved when Jesus came into your life and dealt with sin. That was the point of surrender. The point that you now decrease, that he increases. And the reason for that is because you were never saved to plan your own life and your destiny, which sadly most Christians actually do. You are not saved to fear and worry and get stressed over every trial that you go through. That's not what we were saved for. You should expect better, because God gives better. And only God can deliver us from what the world is held and bound by Satan's problem. You see, Satan's worried about his destiny, his future, and where he's going. And he wants you to be bound by his worries and anxieties and so on. The same as he wants you bound by the pride that he has, which we spoke about on Sunday. Brothers and sisters, this is a big deliverance for Full Gospel Assembly and any others who are coming into this room, if we did but know. It's whether we want it. Because God never saved us. This is not in God's plan for our lives. We were saved to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to accomplish his plan for our lives. My salvation is to accomplish God's plan for my life, and not my plans, my schemes, and what I want. We've got it all around the wrong way, and that's where a lot of our deliverance is in place in us. And this is why God removes and will remove those hindrances that are causing us to compromise in walking in God's ways. And this is why he deals with us with friends. He deals with us with families. He deals with us with various things, because so often they are the pulls in your life bringing you off the path of God. And that they work in the most subtle ways, in the emotions and so on, to bring us out of the will of God. You see? This is why Jesus shows where he brings the sword of the Spirit. It comes right down in your circumstances. It comes right down in your job. It comes right down in your family, in your loved ones, and so on. That is where the sword of the Spirit comes. But we don't like that. Because what that is doing, that's hindering my plans, my scheming, and what I want to do. And then we expect God to bless it. And then we get upset when it isn't blessed and it's out of the will of God. You see, God's trying to show us something. That's the whole point, you see. You see, his plans for our lives, we have to decide whether it's a right way or a wrong way. And we have to yield over to the path that he has for us. And I think many of us actually need to repent in this area. This is what the Lord was emphasizing to me tonight in this teaching. Most of us, if not all of us, actually need to repent in this, because we're all at times falling victim to it. And this is why we lose our peace. This is why then the fears, the anxieties, the stresses of all those things that God saved us from start to try and take over. You see, fretting and worry is a sign, I want my own way. Did you know that? When you start to worry and you start fretting, and that anxiety, frustration, anger, all those things that come with those emotions, that's actually a sign that's telling you, you want your own way and you don't want the path I've chosen for you at this point. It's not rocket science, and yet how many of us have misinterpreted that? I would say most of us. And yet God is telling us something in this. You see, Jesus never worried. He never fretted, because his plans were to fulfill God's plans. And that's why he could rest like he did. And that's why God wrought what he did through him, and all those miracles and so on. If the Church of Jesus Christ could grasp this, what I'm saying, we would see tremendous breakthroughs in the house of God. And I believe also the greater works are coming as a result of all of this, because all we desire is God's path that he has chosen for me and for the Church. You see, if the Church is to fulfill the path that God has chosen for her, it first has to settle with you and me. It's not going to be the other way around. You know, so often we're praying for the Church, praying that God's plan for the Church will be fulfilled and she will walk that path and everything. But then right away God will say, well, it starts first with you, because you are part of the body of Christ. And then of course we think, oh well, that's a slightly different thing. I didn't plan on that. I didn't think it would be like that. But it does. Everything starts with you, me. And it starts by that bowing of the knee and repenting, confessing, getting it under the blood of Jesus, and simply asking God to put those godly affections within our heart. Some of you tonight, in your heart, you may not really want that path that God has got for you. But maybe the Holy Spirit's saying, okay, I've exposed, you don't really want it. But if you do want it, repent, and I'll put that desire within your heart, that you will desire my way, my path that I have for you. And God will do it. He will not turn his back on that. He will not harden his heart. He'll move heaven and earth for you, so that you desire, you want, you love the path that he set for each one of us. He'll put that affection within us. That's the whole point. But Jesus never worried or fret because it is of the path that he was on, because all he desired was that God's plans were fulfilled in and through him. The trouble is, our own selfish wisdom has been feeding worry and anxiety and planning our own lives. And that's the problem. It's our own soulish wisdom, which we call the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God and so on. And there are times it's not, brothers and sisters, and we need to come clean. We need to be honest. It's so easy to turn soulish, fleshly things and try and make it spiritual. But the problem is, there's no blessing to it. And how do we know there's no blessing to it? Because the fears, anxieties, frustrations are attached to it. That's how we know. Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. What fruit are we bearing at this point? That's the whole question, you see. You see, our worry and anxieties and frustrations are actually saying to us, it's just too much for God to handle. And that's what it will say. No, God can't do this. This sort of thing's not done. We don't see these sort of miracles happen. We don't see this. We don't see this in FGA. And that's what soulish logic will say. That's what worry and anxiety will say. That's just too much for God to handle. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, we set it all aside. We repent and we rest in Him. That's why it says, doesn't it, in Psalm 91, verse 1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. We need to dwell in that secret place with Him. That is where your peace to your heart, your soul, your mind, your circumstances, everything is. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, it means to remain there, not in and out. Every time fear and anxiety knocks on the door, or I'm fretting over something. It's not what it means. It means I'm staying there, I'm resolute. And that's what we should desire. We should be desiring in the path that He's set for us, Lord, I want to be freed from this fretting, anxiety, fears, so that I can dwell permanently in Your presence. Because this is about relationship. This is about you and I. This is about you and I that walk in covenant with each other. Wish to God more saints would seek God in that way. He's there waiting to hear that from you, from your heart. And He'll work that on your behalf. He'll move heaven and earth that that will be accomplished. He really, really will. You see, what you have concerned and occupied your time in fretting, worrying, fear, anxiety, all of that is caused by planning and running before God. All your worries, your anxieties, fretting, fears, all these things, they are clear signs that you are planning, you are running before God, and you're not choosing the path that He has set for you each day. This is why we trust in the Lord. We don't look to our own understanding. In everything we commit our ways to Him, and the promise is He will direct our path. That direction means I will be with you, I will clothe you, I will provide for you, I will be with you, I will accomplish through you whatever you need day by day. This is what it means. And I believe until we come to that place, that we settle this in our hearts, and allow the Holy Spirit to work this, we are not going to know the fullness of this walk. We're not going to know really what the deeper life in the Spirit is actually all about. Because deeper life in the Spirit is a tremendous deliverance for the house of God in these last days. And I believe that he's really now working on these fears and anxieties, this fretting, and all these things that try to weaken us. But as I close now, they are an indication, they are telling you something, that you are planning your life without God. And God is jealous over us, and he's jealous for his glory, and he's not going to let that happen. He is bringing each of us into the perfect will and plan of Almighty God that you experience and walk day by day. Not just now and again, but it is a continual experience day by day. But you are going to have to surrender. You are going to have to ask God to do that in your life. Because the problem is still, maybe I love my wife too much. Or I love my son too much. Or I love my hobby too much. Or I love my job too much. Or whatever it is. There's still something within us that is challenging that. And that's why it's a total surrender. That is what discipleship is about. It's a denial of the self-life. It's taking up your cross daily, following him. It's putting that hand to the plow and not looking back. That is the deliverance. That is the deeper life that we teach. And God will work that. He will accomplish that in your life, in your heart. But it is there for asking. But we're still asking for the wrong things. We're still asking out of our own lusts, out of our own desires, and what I want. He says in that psalm, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's what he has promised. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, the desires of your heart are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're coming from a pure motive. They are coming from God's throne, not coming out from any other source. That's the difference, brothers and sisters. That's the abundant life. That's prosperity. That's the true prosperity. And so many churches have got the prosperity teaching so wrong because they don't delight themselves in the Lord. And the reason they don't delight themselves in the Lord, because they wrestle against the path that God has for each of them. They still want God on their own terms, to worship God on their own terms, and to do what they like. And God doesn't have it. God is sovereign. He will never take second best. When God saved you and I, he saved us for a walk of covenant, of fellowship. He saved you and presented a path that he has for you, and the Bible tells us that Jesus has already gone before and prepared that path for each of us. We know because he says he's gone before and prepared even a place in heaven for each of us. That's how much he loves us. And it will be the desires of your heart. It will be more than you ever can begin to conceive or even think about. What God has planned for each one of us. And that is where your peace, your rest to your mind, your heart, your spirit, your soul will be. I don't know about you, but we all need to rest in God's presence because this world is getting more and more anxious, confused, worried. It's not a pleasant world out there any longer. So don't look to it. Don't try and rely on it. But look to the Lord. Because faith comes by hearing this word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. lean not unto your own understanding. See, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct that path he has for each one of us. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for the deliverance. Thank you, Father, for the gift of repentance in seeking you over this word tonight. It's because you first loved us. Please help each of us, Lord, to fulfill this. If the desires are not in our heart, then please, Father, put it there. But we just seek that your will, we seek that path that you have set for each of us. Because as we fulfill that and walk in that, that means then the church walks in the perfect will of God. And Lord, you are delivering us from what the world is so gripped by: stress, anxiety, fretting, all those things that hinder our faith in believing in the promises of God. Lord, you've set such a great deliverance for us, and we have the blood of Jesus that cleanses each one of us. So Lord, we thank you again tonight for our meeting. These meetings are so precious. We don't take them for granted. Lord, we thank you that you are still speaking to us in this last hour that we live in, and we don't take this lightly. There may come a time when you don't speak in this way anymore, and that will be fearful. But Lord, we hear. Cause each one of us to act upon that which we have heard. For we ask this in Jesus' name.
Onward ever growing, till it finds fulfillment. holding